Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. We talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying wait a minute.
Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm Scott Catoon, your host, and this is TechNerd Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. We've got a fun show for you today. Actually, I think it's more than fun. We're going to pick up on the conversation we had with Seth Kravitz last week about media. We had a couple questions from people in the audience who wanted to know, well, there was a lot of things they wanted to know. The first thing that I thought was most interesting was a major concern as traditional media starts to kind of shift gears, we'll say, as we say from WGN Tribune Tower, where gears are shifting every minute. But one of the things that there's a question is, how does local news make it? How do we find out local stories? So we're going to learn a little bit about that. I'm going to kind of fill you guys in some cool stuff going on in the Chicago community to actually help that on a national level, which is exciting. There's also a company that is not based in Chicago, but they've got a great presence in media. In fact, they're on Steve Bertrand's business lunch hour, Wintrust business lunch. And that is Chicago Inno. Has done a little bit of a redesign on the website and a little bit more than that. If you dig deeper, they are now American Inno, and they have put together sort of an interesting model, I guess you'd say. So I'm going to walk into that a little bit. We're not going to spend too much time on it, though. And then I've got a really funny one for segment two here. Are you familiar with catfishing? If you are not, you should Google it now. Catfishing is something that Manti Te'o from the Notre Dame and now the Chargers, I think he's still on the Chargers, although his career hasn't been exactly that great. But at any rate, he got catfished and was made famous for the fact that he had kind of a fake girlfriend. People will go online and pretend to be somebody that they're not, and then you feel a little bit of egg in the face, and it gets kind of awkward quickly. That's not really actually the biggest part of the story. We're almost approaching a billion dollars lost in catfishing and online romance scams. And because they're targeting, I don't want to say older folks, but maybe less tech savvy folks. We're going to go into that a little bit and hopefully walk you down not memory lane there. We're going to learn a little bit about what interactive television is with our weird friend, Sean Frelick, who hosts The Feed, and you hear him on our weekly show here, catching us up in tech news. They're actually live at Comic-Con in San Diego. So we're going to catch you with him live, learn what's going on there. And then, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about investors, because local company here that is expanding incredibly quickly, and a guest and a friend of mine who was actually on this show, Mark Lawrence and the Spot Hero team, raised $30 million just recently in their Series C to continue their expansion across the globe, starting with Canada. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, in the fourth block of this show, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what that looks like in the investment piece. What is the number one question you should ask an investor before you take on capital? And also, we're going to talk a little bit deeper about the story of Spotter, because the investors, most of them come from Chicago, which I think is exciting for one big reason. And that is that obviously it's great to have a great company in Chicago growing, great startup. But the money is being spent to expand to other, not just states, other cities, other countries. So for Chicago money to be expanding into other regions and things like that through a Chicago-born company is really, really cool. OCA Ventures, Pritzker Group, that would be J.B. Pritzker, who's running for governor, and several others, which we'll get into, but a very cool story. And then, of course, as always, we would like to hear from you. Please, please, please continue to send us, and I will ask you, you can call the show live. You don't have to DM me and write messages on Facebook, though I do appreciate it. We could actually have the conversation right here during the show. So give me a call. You can hit us up right here at 312-981-7200. Or as you usually do, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at TechNori, or just ping me to pieces at Catoon. We're going to take a quick break here. But when we come back, you are going to want to be listening, because we are going to talk about media and we are going to talk about online romance. It's going to be a good time. I'm Scott Catoon, and you're listening to WGN Radio 720. Welcome back to the show. We mentioned a lot of things in the beginning of the show, and we're going to get to all of them right about now. So first up, the media question. One of the first questions that came to me after last week's long show we had with Seth Kravitz, which was awesome. We had a whole hour with the TechNori founder and the CEO, Flern, to talk about media and everything digital, really. And the first question that came up that I thought was really an important topic is, with the change away from, you know, the Sun-Times, what will happen there, we're not sure, Chicago Tribune, Tribune Media being bought, and things sort of becoming, I don't know, decentralized, I guess, in some regards. What ends up happening here is you lose out on local stories. How would a person find out what's going on in, say, Evanston? How would a person find out what's going on outside of the main area of Chicago? And there is a way to do that. And one of the solutions is a local company called Harkin, which, if you're not familiar, you can go to Harkin. It's actually H-E-A-R-K-E-N, and it's weareharkin.com. Check it out. What's really cool about it is that people in your community can essentially just post what's going on for journalists to cover. So it's a new model for journalism. I guess the best way to summarize this, I wish we had him in here to talk about it. I probably should have thought this through beforehand, but I didn't, because I usually don't think things through. But we help news organizations listen to the public as stories develop and then pitch it through publications. So it's very unique. Instead of paying for journalists to be positioned in all kinds of towns, just sort of waiting for things to happen, this is a reverse model where people can actually submit stories that are going on, and a journalist, if it seems like a fit or it seems real or incredibly newsworthy or timely, they can check it out and sort of have a direction, and that stuff that is highly important or people are engaging in will find its way to the top of the news list, and then that's how it comes out. I think it's important because with the way media has shifted and shaped, it's really challenging to be able to keep a staff of people like we did in the past. It just is a different model. The amount of money it costs to pay for staff and things is so much higher than the digital technology pieces and softwares that we're using now. And it's, there's definitely a risk there, of course. It's self-reporting versus having a quote-unquote unbiased opinion of reporting. But I do think that there are tools and things that are going to come out like Harkin to sort of fix that. So for the person who asked that question, hopefully that somewhat sends you in the right direction. And then the other thing we kind of talked about was, speaking of this changing scope of media, is Chicago Inno. They changed their name to American Inno. You go to AmericanInno.com. Nice plug. You'll see Chicago Inno, Boston Inno. They're trying to open up Minnesota Inno, a few other Innos. Innos everywhere. And it's, the gist of what they say they are shaping themselves as is a hard news organization and event company. And, we, Technori does things a little bit differently. Tribune does things a little bit differently. And I think we're all trying to figure out the right mix for how this is going to work. But the one thing that stood out to me with their shift was ultimately this community-centric approach. And I think that also, the reason I bring this up is that also sort of takes on that same gap that our listeners were concerned with. And that is that, how do you cover local? And I think when you make through event and other, you make community a major focus of what you're doing, it becomes easier for local stories to kind of come out. I mean, if you're reading something about the Chicago community, but then there's something going on in a different part of Chicago that might not be newsworthy to make the paper or make the story or make a video or news at night or whatever it is, you could actually go to the events that are being hosted in those areas and learn about it in person. And so on twofold, what's really unique about it is that we still have a community-centric, a community-focused approach to news. But what's really cool for me, and this is going to sound kind of crazy because this is a tech show and I'm supposed to be a tech person, is I like that over time we've lost a little bit of the person-to-person thing, right? We read everything in an app, and I'm watching people walk by the Allstate Showcase studio with their face buried in a phone, hopefully listening to the show. But at any rate, we lose the ability to communicate with people. And I think by having events like this, it makes it very cool because you can read the news and hear about these famous people and then go to an event and actually talk to them. Which, of course, after plugging Chicago Inno, I've got to plug Technori Legends, right? Because, that's what this show is. But speaking of events like that, the Technori Legends event is August 1st, and it's going to be epic. It's the first inaugural Technori Awards and outdoor pop-up fest. I think if you are into tech and you are into beer and food and having a good time, I think music as well, then Technori Legends is going to be for you. We're going to have a lot of pretty incredible guest speakers. Howard Tolman, who was the first ever guest on my show here at WGN. We're going to have Jimmy Odom from World Business Chicago, previously We Deliver. Genevieve Thiers from Sitter City. Sai Rangachari, who was a guest on my podcast from Capital One, talking about inclusive economic growth and why Chicago has become sort of the mecca in the tech community for inclusive growth. And of course, I don't want to leave out Vic Pascucci, who is also a guest on this show, is going to be our keynote talking about why they continue to invest in Chicago and how come Brad Keywell and Eric Lefkowski have become repeat founders, now having, I believe, three companies total worth over $1 billion, which is awesome. And all of them are right here in Chicago. So these are all important things. And I think that it's important that people communicate well, but also get together in a community sense. And these events really tie it out. So check out events.technori.com/legends2017 and get yourself some tickets. Use WGN promo, save yourself 25%, and check it out. Meet these people in person, because that's what this is all about. Now, we've got to get to the catfishing. This is my favorite story. It's so ridiculous. I'd stumbled upon it. I'm not a big online person when it comes to like romance and dating. I don't quite understand it. I don't really get the people who sign up for all these like profiles and things. And I really have no idea who accepts a friend from someone who is like, looks like a supermodel. They have no idea who it is. They've never met them. And they're in the small town of Glen Ellen and just happen to be cruising through town. And they Facebook friend request me at total random. And then they start sending you messages. Who accepts that? I'm not sure. But apparently a lot of people. There was a story in Mashable today that over $360 million so far has been accounted for in catfish-related theft. Scams online. Romance scams online. People friending through social networks, through swiping like Tinder and Bumble, even using things like eHarmony and other paid networks that usually claim that they don't have this kind of stuff, coming in, sending you a message and saying, listen, I think you're just the best person ever. I think you're my soulmate. If you could just send me 10 grand and I'm in Kenya, so you're going to need to ship it in a bag, preferably in gold bullion. And people do this. I hope you are not one of those people, but people do this. And there was a story, it's almost like, you know, for me, kind of heartless at times, so I tried not to laugh during this because it was just so ridiculous. But this poor woman became online friends with this individual who first bilked her out of a few $100s. I'm losing access to the internet. I'm losing access to being able to communicate with you. And, you know, you don't want to lose that. We have this budding romance and all this stuff. And so, and of course, you know, a couple $100, no big deal. She sends it. Next thing you know, oh my gosh, I'm losing my house. You know, we need some money. Things are, you know, just we'll get together. We'll hit all this stuff. She ends up getting bilked at like 18,000, right? Finally, and she says, even in the article, she says that she was well aware, intelligent wise, like well aware she was getting taken. But in her heart, she said, not only did she not get it and accept it then, she said she doesn't accept it now. This has been like a year later. She says that she still loves this individual who, you know, just so we're clear, doesn't exist. It's a person pretending. And who knows who they were or where they're from. And what's going on is apparently most of these people are overseas. It's almost impossible to get the money back. It's almost impossible to prosecute or to find out anything really. And ultimately, one of the big problems, you always like to tell you a story. I want to have some sort of a recursor or some recourse for you to solve the problem. People don't report it because they're so embarrassed. And I got to tell you, I mean, I think for myself, I don't think I would tell a soul. I mean, how could you tell someone like, yeah, I fell in love with a person. I have no idea who they are. There was a couple of pictures that someone copied online and sent to me and I fell for them. And then I paid a bunch of money out and lost it. So people don't report it, which is, you know, I get why, but ultimately it's led to an insane amount of damages. And the government is saying, reporting that it should be closer to $1 billion in debt and debts and loss, rather than the $360 million that's just accounted for. So please be careful out there while you're surfing the web trying to find that special someone. They may not be all that special. If they ask you for money right off the bat, well, actually, I would argue if you know them in person and they ask you for money right off the bat, I would recommend actually walking away from that person as well. But if it's online, I would particularly be careful about that because you're going to lose your shirt and a lot worse. But at any rate, we are going to come back after the break here with our weird friend Sean Frelick, who is from The Feed, the famous Feed. And he is actually becoming live from Comic-Con in San Diego. If you're not familiar with Comic-Con, now's a good time to go to Google and search Comic-Con. Or if you're listening to WGN Radio on your Amazon Alexa, you can say, hey, Amazon Alexa, what is Comic-Con? And find out what that is. It's going to be a very, very interesting conversation with Sean and the boys who are out there. Can't wait to find out more. Please, as always, if you want to learn more or talk to us or get more out of me or get less out of me, which is probably the case, we want to hear from you. So call us or text us at 312-981-7200. Hit me up on Facebook and Twitter at Katoon or hit up Technori at Technori. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Scott Katoon and you're listening to WGN Radio 720.
Wait a minute, wait a turn minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. Play it, I hope right. You got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger talking business. Big he make biz. A lot of moves. Lot of we talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying, wait a minute, wait turn a minute. On the radio.
Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining us, not in studio, but rather from sunny San Diego, is our weird friend Sean Frelick, who you know from the feed. He is live at Comic-Con with the rest of, well, I guess it's just Sam, affectionately known as Fiskers Fisk, who is out there. Sean, welcome to the show.
Scott, my man, it's here. Good to hear your voice again.
You know, you can listen to it by just saying, hey, Amazon Play, or hey, Alexa Play WGN Radio. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Okay, you can hear my voice anytime.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man, I'm in the loop. I'm just having an incredible time out here, as you said, sunny San Diego. It's my first time out in the West Coast since going back to 2004. So I'm glad to be back covering Comic-Con alongside Fiskers. There's a lot of great, cool, exciting stuff going on here. And to top it off, it's not a bad way to spend your 25th birthday, I got to say.
I was going to tell you just before you said that, happy 25th birthday to you. And it's a good birthday trip sending you to San Diego. One of my favorite cities, San Diego. Very cool. So for those who don't know, what is Comic-Con?
So Comic-Con is the biggest comic book convention in the world, especially the San Diego one. The San Diego one is the big event. And comic books have actually been taking more of a backseat as comic book movies have become more commercialized in TV shows. And so really, it's kind of a big marketing event and a good opportunity for me to give a bunch of nerds wedgies in your honor.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, it's timely. Obviously, it's great that we sent you, you know, we have you basically there to be able to learn more about it. But we've been talking about media on this show as well as the last couple shows on this show because right. It's been such a big deal. And you guys are there to kind of see firsthand a couple of topics that I think are important for people. The first is interactive television on Netflix. I don't even know where to start. Like, what is that for the average person?
Okay, so interactivity when it comes to storytelling, I think, is most common for people when you think back to choose your own adventure books. With like Goosebumps did it, and going back even further, I think in most of our childhood, at some point, I don't know if you were a big reader growing up as a kid, Scott, but we all read one of those choose your own adventure books. So essentially, what they're doing on Netflix, specifically, it's a show called Buddy Thunderstruck. And it's created by some of the animators from Robot Chicken. So it's a stop-motion animation show. And the kids that watch it have the opportunity to tell the characters what to do. So the show will pause. Kids will choose like an A through D option. And then the show will continue. So this is just opening the door to what I see as limitless options for new indie kind of shows to break the mold and to draw some new viewership in. And I think it's something for maybe even us at TechNori to consider is like new ways for the audience to interact with their television.
Well, yeah, I think from the standpoint of innovation in media, I mean, that's the future. Obviously, we're all shifting our model, like I mentioned before, with American Inno and obviously what TechNori has been doing for years, which is that event stuff that kind of matches up with content. You actually just saw in the news today or yesterday, I can't remember when I shared it, NBC is actually starting to produce shows direct to Snap. So they're actually producing content for Snap. Rather than TV, because they're finding that people aren't watching their TV channel. So they're putting it on Snap where people are at. I think it's cool. I think to your question, whether I was a reader, not really. I mean, I read Emmett Zone, like, well, I don't even know if I ever finished the whole book, but I used Emmett Zone for like 7 student book reports because I didn't want to read anything else. I watched a lot of Commando and Predator as a kid. But I did recognize that there was some innovative stuff going on at the time. It was pop-up books. And then there was sort of that 3D, you could get the little glasses and look at your book and get different view. And when I was in grad school, there was a company here locally in Naperville that was sort of providing a little bit of an augmented reality or sort of the precursor to augmented reality experience for listening to books for kids. And now this, I mean, I think that you're right. This interactive television stuff is going to be fascinating because it quite literally with technology paired with augmented reality, it's limitless. Like what you could do, what we could create is limitless.
Yeah. I'm really glad you mentioned AR because that's been another major push here at Comic-Con is moving all sorts of content into AR, especially books and comic books. Like we were looking at a book the other day where, you know, you just flip it open and there's pictures of like sea monsters and the tentacles are literally living, coming out of the book, reaching for your face. So I've year to year, I've been seeing AR technology, and I've been thinking like, this is kind of just a fad, or it's just a little gimmick. But really, it is developing into something that a lot of the experts here are saying is going to be commonplace. Like, they really do treat it as a serious form of media. So I think in the future, we will continue to see more and more of it. And maybe, you know, more goggles will be commonplace in households and outside of just industry models.
Well, Google Glass 2.0 just came out, so that's, you know, going to be a different iteration. The other thing, you know, this is just funny you brought it up, is you thought it was a gimmick, kind of like 360 video. I'm a huge fan, but I think that its execution standpoint, it's just not quite there. And so I think all of these new pieces of technology that we use to consume media, and really in the past, all tech was something like, if you were into tech, you really found out about it. You didn't really experience it like firsthand. Now, with tech being ubiquitous and like the way people consume, it's through technology like Snap and Facebook and all these other things. So like all of the average Joes out there are seeing tech really fast. They're seeing it a lot sooner than they maybe would have in the past. So when I look at augmented reality and all these other things, I think they're gimmicks until they're good, if that makes sense. So like they're all a gimmick because it's like, well, meh, this is like not a big added value. But in the future, when augmented reality is perfected, I mean, I don't know how else you, I think there's gonna be a day where we're like, I can't even imagine that people sat and stared at a flat screen. How weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned about like talking about the future, and it's a cliched statement to say like the future is now, but that is happening. Like another story I want to plug in which people can look forward to later this week when we produce our special Comic-Con edition of The Feed is we attended an Iron Man panel, and unfortunately it wasn't with Robert Downey Jr., but it was with Richard Browning, who has been coined in all sorts of media outlets as the real Iron Man. So we sat down and we talked with him, and his story is he's created an exoskeleton that has jet propulsion on his ankles and on his wrists, and it allows him to levitate and fly around like Iron Man. And so I asked him, I said, well, how soon do you think we will have a real Iron Man? He says, it's already here. The issue is it's he doesn't feel comfortable enough yet to fly himself hundreds of feet into the air. He says he can do it, but some of the drawbacks that they still have to overcome is fuel efficiency. He says his exoskeleton burns through, you know, diesel and whatnot in order to get him to fly off the ground. But it was really incredible. And he's been doing demonstrations with Adam Savage from Mythbusters, like getting into his little suit, driving down the street, flying around on his exoskeleton. So it's really a sight to behold.
And, I can't imagine something going wrong there.
Right. Yeah. No, he only goes above like 3 or 4 feet above the ground, and he'll just do a few roundabouts. But he said it started off as a fun project, but now he's getting some major investments. The military is interested because they could see perhaps Navy SEALs using this exoskeleton in order to do some rescue missions. So things are getting really real for Mr. Iron Man, Richard Browning.
Very
so that's
cool.
Something that people can look at later this week.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, people go to technori.com and check out another rendition of the feed, also on social media at Facebook, Facebook at Technori. You know, the other thing you just brought up is kind of funny, the comment about the future is now. We've been hearing it forever. And there's a person that we both know mutually who said this to me not that long ago, that they were like, I've been hearing that this is going to come for years, and every time it never comes. This new technology is going to change everything we do, but it's never changed anything. And my response to that, and to those of you listening who are like, well, you know, we've been dreaming about these things since the 60s in Batman. The future is now, because it's moving faster than ever before. The amount of technological advancements, the amount of creative, crazy gadgets that people would create, and then it would just sit dormant until technology would catch up, is happening in real time. People are coming up with a crazy idea, building it, and bringing it to market in like months, not years or decades. So I think one of the reasons that people are saying that the future is now is because we are actually moving advancement-wise at such a crazy pace that it's actually a little bit scary, but it's very cool, and I'm glad that you guys are there to see some of this stuff. Where do people learn more about all of your work, Sean?
So you can get the most up-to-date information about what I'm doing at Comic-Con by following me at Froelich Sean on Twitter, and that's Froelichsean. And you'll see some fun celebrity stuff, because that's just like one of the things about Comic-Con. It's just, I've just been inundated with famous people. And it's just really funny. Like, you just get lucky. Like, yesterday I went to see a panel of a YouTube group I really love, Screen Junkies, and I walked into Sharknado, and lo and behold, I'm like sitting down watching Tara Reid, Fabio, and Chris Kattan talk about
great trio, you
know, space sharks. Yeah, so you see all sorts of crazy things here, and not to mention the costumes. So I'm on day three. I've been getting enough sleep. I'm still rolling. I'm
staying hydrated.
I'm about to go into the Simpsons panel, so see those guys. DS.
Very cool.
I'm having a blast here.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you guys are having fun. Be safe out there. Get some good stories down. And, you know, I think one of the cool things, before I let you go, one of the cool things you brought up is that the Comic-Con style of making comics and technology sort of fun, and people can, like, learn more because they're interested in the comics first, and then they find out about tech, and then they get involved in that. It's kind of what you guys do so well for us at Technori, is creating these videos where people can ingest the news in a way that's very different. It's like, oh, I get that. I can relate to that. So I highly recommend those of you out there listening to check out the feed. It is an awesome little 3 minutes of special video by Sean. So Sean, have a good time.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Of course. Absolutely. That was Sean Frelick, the host of the feed on technori.com, checking out Comic-Con. This has been our third segment. We have one more left, so you have to put up with me for about 15 more minutes. At any rate, I am Scott Catoon. We're going to take a quick break to pay some bills, and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and we are sitting here in the Allstate Showcase studio on a beautiful Saturday. We have come to our final segment, which is, you know, I don't know. It's not sad. It's a good thing. We got through this whole show without getting fired, which is great. But I mentioned in the beginning of the show, Spot Hero, which is a local company. Mark Lawrence is the founder, CEO, good friend of mine, and he's a good friend of the show. He's been on our show here once. He's been on the podcast a few times. He was actually the first ever presenter at Technori Showcase. So it's cool to see them having great success. They're raising their Series C. They just took in $30 million. In that $30 million, they actually brought up, let me think here, that is $58 million total they've raised now, which is incredible. 57.5 to be exact. And I mentioned to you that there's some cool pieces here. On one side, we're going to talk about the fact that they raised a lot of homegrown money, and that homegrown money builds a homegrown company, but that homegrown money and company now go international, which is awesome for the city of Chicago. I think, as we're going to talk a lot about at the Technori Legends event, which I've already plugged numerous times, is the fact that Chicago is putting itself in position to be a global tech hub, not for the reasons that, say, Silicon Valley and others have. We're doing it because of inclusivity, but we're also doing it because we are building solutions that I think not just businesses, but people themselves, you know, at some point are not going to be able to live without. And Spot Hero is one of them. They're going to spend some of this money that comes from Math Ventures, which is an awesome, Mark Ackler's been on the show, as well as former Techstars director, Troy Hennikoff. Let's see, Sam Yagan, local, Draper Associates, as I mentioned before, Pritzker Group Venture Capital, and also Chicago Ventures and OCA, Founders Capital. These are all groups that are based in Chicago, which is just super cool, because the key to continuing to build this ecosystem the way we are is you have to have repeat founders. And we've got that with Lightbank and mentioned before, Brad Keywell and Eric Lefkowski, which is Groupon, if you're not familiar, and Uptake, which has recently raised about $100 million at a billion-plus valuation. Echo Logistics, and I can go on and on and on. There's like six of them. But it makes Chicago special. And one of the reasons that Mark said that they're raising some of this capital is to invest in the future. And you're like, the future? I mean, I feel like a parking app is the future, but really the future is autonomous cars. And so one of the things that they're working on is to build into the autonomous car, of the future, is an app that would find parking for that car. And it's really funny, because when the Chicago Auto Show was here, we talked to Mark. We also talked to ParkWiz about autonomous vehicles and how I felt like one of the big pieces of autonomous driving that was missing was, would I spend time in a car if I still have to park it? I still have to find parking. I still have to deal with the pain in the butt stuff. And that I probably wouldn't. I feel like we talked with Sean about how technology is a gimmick until it's real. I feel like autonomous driving is kind of a gimmick until it's real. And one of the big components is, how does the ride end? You know, I think we look at like, oh, it's cool, it could park, it sees parallel parking, blah, 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 it's great. No. How do you get in a car and it knows where it's going and it goes there and it finds parking? And if you live in a big city, it's not like you're just going into your parking garage. Like, you need a space. And so Mark is, again, on the cutting edge knowing that he's going to have to raise some capital. They just acquired a company in New York, so they have Parking Panda so that they can continue to expand. But it's not just in the taking over markets. It's also in the technology, which is really cool. So to that question, though, raising capital, I pose a question to you. And it is essentially, if you're a founder or your son or daughter is a founder, or you're thinking about becoming a founder, or you work at a company in a position that is raising capital, what is the question? What is that one question you need to ask whatever investor you might bring in? And I'll pose this to you. Will you lead, will you follow, or will you get out of the way? It's a big question. Usually would reserve this to my 5 good minutes. I guess you could call this my 5 good minutes, but I've had 55 previous good minutes. So we won't really give it a name this time, but the gist is this, you know, we've raised capital for Technori, several times, several companies that we are very, very, familiar with on this show have raised capital recently, like Spot Hero. And the big problem is it depends on the size of the company and so forth. But if you are a small team who's taken on their first round, particularly their first round, and you're about to take on money, money comes with a lot of problems. Money comes with a lot of power and, in a lot of cases, thought of power. Do you ask the people, do you just try to raise capital? Are you just going to run out there and say, who's going to give me some money? Or you want to know, like, when things get tough, are you going to try to jump in my chair and take over the stick here? Because at the end of the day, that money does you no good if you lose the vision or if you lose the execution. And that's one of the biggest challenges I think all of the founders are facing right now. And so I guess the big question for everyone here, and obviously Mark is a good person to ask this because it seems like he's doing a great job, but you need to know beforehand, is the investor somebody who wants to lead the company, or they want to follow your lead? In other words, are they investing in you, the person, or is it someone who is just totally all in? They're ready to like get out of the way and let you be creative and do what you have to do. And not all are bad. In some cases, there are companies that the CEO and the founder have got it as far as it can go with the current structure. In raising a little bit of capital, we talked about this at Incubate Illinois. There's several major investment firms in Illinois that are known for bringing in a new CEO and a new team when they invest in the company because they see great potential and the person has taken as far as they can and now they need to move forward. And then there's other ways that founders will meet with a CEO and their board and investors and say, listen, here's where we need help. Do you want to be a part of this whole thing? So you need to know who you are before you go ask for money, and you definitely need to know who the people that you're trying to take money from are before you take that money, because with it comes a whole lot of responsibility. That is going to bring us to the remainder of our show here. It's been awesome talking with you guys, and hopefully everyone learned a little bit here. And of course, as always, let us know. I would love to hear from you guys on Facebook and on Twitter at Technori, or me at Katoon on Facebook and Twitter. This episode you can stream live on WGNRadio.com. Download the Technori podcast, please. We've got some awesome content coming. We're going to start streaming that live 11 to 1 on Technori's Facebook page and YouTube channel. And you can learn more about Chicago Tech by following us. So please do keep us in mind. And that's the end of my show today. Boom. That's a wrap.